very much. Baruchat Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nidbar. Perfect. All right, well, second morning. So we have a lot to do today, not a lot of time. So we'll do what we can. So we left today's daf as Yud Ches. We left off on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. The shiur this morning is sponsored by Ben Sion Luchensky in commemoration of the yahrzeit of his father, Reuven ben Moshe. And we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his Nesham will have an Aliyah.
Amen.
So Omer Mar, literally it's actually, maybe it's easier, where the lines get wide, third line in, halfway into the line. All right, so let's remember again, we're discussing now Megillas Tanis, which is the listing of all the different days on which it is prohibited to fast. And also, Ayashikvach Ta'ari, for the beautiful breakfast, in honor of Rosh Chodesh, in honor of the Daf Yomi. And thank you. So it says, Amar Mar. So remember again, we started quoting from the different days on which you are not permitted to fast because of various events that occurred. So it says, the Gemara, Amar Mar, Meresh Yarcha de Nisan. One of the things that we quoted was from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, At Hamnia Bay, it took him to Midah. The Lola Mispad. So remember again, one of the dates we discussed yesterday is that from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the 8th of Nisan, you're not allowed to fast. Those days have the identity of Yom Tov. Why? Because that was the days in which the Rabbanim were arguing with the Tzedukim about whether or not the carbon tumid could come from communal funds or personal funds. And again, we won the argument, and the Tzedukim were convinced that it could only come from communal funds. Therefore, it's established as a Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, why do I need these days to start from Rosh Chodesh? Lema mitrei benisan. We'll say, in reality, again, you don't have to legislate that you can't fast or that you can't deliver eulogies on Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because again, Rosh Chodesh already has the status of a Yom Tov. So say that the prohibition on fasting and eulogizing during these days is from the 2nd of Nisan, for Rosh Chodesh kufa Yom Tovu, and Rosh Chodesh itself is a Yom Tov va'aser, and therefore fasting and eulogizing may be prohibited. Amarav, lo nitzricha ela le'aser yom shelefanov. So which the Gemara answers no, because by including Rosh Chodesh, see what I say, Rosh Chodesh itself is aser, but the day before Rosh Chodesh, Erev Rosh Chodesh, is permitted in eulogizing and fasting. By making a day part of Megillas Tanis, remember we saw in the Mishnah that what? Not only is that day not fit for eulogizing and fasting, but what? The day before it as well. So by including Rosh Chodesh, what you end up gaining is not Rosh Chodesh itself, because that would have been aser anyway for eulogizing and fasting, but you get the day before Rosh Chodesh, which will be aser as well. But you, again, why don't I say that the day before Rosh Chodesh should what? Should be aser and eulogizing and fasting. Why? Because it's the day before Rosh Chodesh. Meaning, what we're assuming is, in the same way that the day before any of these days listed in Megillas Tanis are going to be aser and eulogizing and fasting, so to the day before Rosh Chodesh should be as well. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you. Rosh Chodesh Doraisu. Rosh Chodesh is a Doraisu. I must say, what's very interesting over here is what he seems to be saying is that the concept of Rosh Chodesh being a Yom Tov is a biblical concept. Udoraisa lo bai chizuk. And biblical concepts do not require any additional bolstering. Remember, the idea of prohibiting the day before the actual Yom Tov is done in order to what? In order to bolster the sanctity, in order to bolster the framework of the Yom Tov itself. When do we require something to be bolstered? Only when it's rabbinic in nature. Something, however, that is biblical does not require bolstering. Udoraisa lo bai chizuk. Tisanyo hayamim ha'ilak suv. Megillas Tanis, these days that are recorded in Megillas Tanis, lifneim ulachrein asurim. So the days before these days and the days after these days, meaning what we'll call Erev Yom Tov and Isru Chag, will also be usher in hespet, eulogies, as well as tanis. However, Shabbos and Yom Tov, hein asurin, you can't fast, or you can't eulogize on Shabbos and Yom Tov. However, the fnei l'acharei mutarin. But interestingly enough, there is no legislation about Erev Shabbos, or the day after Shabbos, or Erev Yom Tov, or Isru Chag. Why? Ma hefesh ben zeleza, what's the difference between them? Halalu divrei Torah. Because Shabbos and Yom Tov are biblical. V'divrei Torah ein tzrichin chizuk, and biblical days do not require any supplementary bolstering. Halalu divrei sofrim, but if the days listed in Megillas Tainis are rabbinic, v'divrei sofrim tzrichin chizuk. And Rabbosa, in order to, again, bolster the identity of these days, therefore we prohibit both the days before and the days afterwards as well. Omar Remember again, the second thing we mentioned yesterday is from the 8th of Nisan until after Yom Tov is also has the status of Yom Tov, meaning no eulogizing, no fasting. Why? Because remember, these were the days when, again, the Rabbanim had an argument with the Tzedukim about the correct date of Shavuos, the definition of Mimacharas HaShabbos, and we won that argument, and therefore these days become Yom Tov. So the Gemara says the following, why do you have to establish a Yom Tov from the 8th of Nisan through Pesach? Lema ad hamoed, umoed gufei Yom Tov huva aser. Because we also remember again, you can't eulogize or fast on Yom Tov anyway, right? So I don't need Megillah's Tainis to tell me that it's a Yom Tov from the 8th of Nisan through Pesach. Just tell me it's a Yom Tov when? From the 8th of Nisan until when? Until the start of Pesach. And then, of course, Pesach itself is a Yom Tov, and therefore you obviously can't fast or can't eulogize on those days. Amar Papa, Kida Amarav, Lo Nitzvacha Ela Lesser Yom Shalafanov. Remember again, so Rav Papa said, well, it's the same logic that Rav said before. Rav said before again by Rosh Chodesh that even though Rosh Chodesh itself is a Yom Tov, we still declare it as an additional Yom Tov Megillas Tainis in order to what? In order to also prohibit the day before it. Hachanami Lo Nitzvacha Ela Lesser as Yom Shalacharav. Oh, by declaring the Yom Tov through Pesach, what do you effectively accomplish? You say that on Isri Chag, you're also not permitted to what? To eulogize and to fast. Kiman, whose opinion is this? Rabbi Yossi, Damar Bein Lefanov Bein Le'acharav Aser. Because Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that both, again, whenever you have days listed in Megillas Tanis, so the days before those Yom, the day before those Yom Tovim and the day after those Yom Tovim has the status of the Yom Tov itself, and therefore you may not fast. You may not fast and you may not eulogize. Ihachi, if that's the case, going back, be'eschim v'tishanami, my irya dahavi yoma, dimikame yoma, dimitukum timida, teipokle dahavi le yoma, debasar eschim v'timnie. So, Basar, remember again, going back for just a moment, going back to the 29th, so why didn't we say that the 29th should be aser? Why? Because it is the day that comes after the 28th. Okay, now what does that mean? So the 28th itself is the Yom Tov. Why? Desanya, the Eschim v'timnia bay, in the 28th of that month, we actually had this in Rosh Hashanah. Asas besurta, tav sal yudai. Good news came to the Jewish people. Delo yidun min oraisa, that we were not going to be banned from learning Torah. What happened? Shepam achas nigzra gezira al yisro shali ask with Torah, because one time there was an edict that was passed that would have prohibited the Jewish people from learning Torah. Vishlo yamulu asbenim, that we could not circumcise our sons. Vishi chalalu shabbasos, and that we should make mechal Shabbos. Ma'as Yehuda ben Shemua v'chaverav, what did Yehuda and Shemua and his friends do? Holchu v'natlu itza matronisa achos. They went to get advice from a particular Roman matron, Shekol Giduli Romi Mitsuin Etzla, because she knew all of the Roman noblemen very well, and therefore again she was able to give good etza. What happened? Amr Lahem, so they said to her, listen, what can we do to annul this edict? Amr Lahem, Amdu v'hifkinu balayla. She said, go out and cry out at night. Why at night, Rabbi Yossi? Because remember, again, at night it's quieter. So if you have a bunch of people crying out in prayer at night, the cries will be heard. What happened? Amru, so they did so. So halchu v'hifkinu balayla. They woke up in the middle of the night. They went out to cry in the middle of the streets, and they said, Amru, eish shamayim. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Lo achim, or really by the heavens. Lo achim anachnu, are we not brothers? Now remember, they're speaking to the Romans, saying to the Romans, are we not your brothers? Lo b'nei av echad anachnu, are we not all the sons of the same father, Yaakov Avinu? Lo b'nei eim achas anachnu, do we not all come from Rivka Imenu? Remember again, Rome comes from Esav. Ma nishtaninu mikol umav aloshon sha'atim, goes around linu gziros ros. What is it that we did to you? Why do you mistreat us so terribly that you decree upon us all of these edicts? Ubatlu, and it worked. It worked, and the Romans annulled the edict. Va'osayom asa yom tov, and that day, Rosh Hashanah, was the 29th of Adar. That day, I'm sorry, which was the 28th of Adar, thank you, was made into a yom tov. Amar Abaye. So we'll say again, therefore, why don't we say that the 29th of Adar should also be Aser and Hesped and Tainis? Why? Because it's the day after the 28th. Remember, the model that we're using right now is, again, that any day that's included in Megillas Tainis, which means, remember, those days all are quasi-Yom Tovim days. You can't eulogize or fast on those days. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that that prohibition to fast and eulogize also applies when? To the day before that day and the day after that day. If that's the case, the 29th should be prohibited meditating and fasting and eulogizing. Why? Because it comes after the 28th, which is a Yom Tov. Well, that's not always true. Why? Because Lamaisa, again, remember, I will say what we're trying to do. We're trying to go ahead. There's a whole bunch of consecutive days. Remember that there's a period from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the 8th of Nisan, where the rabbis argued and they were able to establish that the Karban Tamid should come only from communal funds. Those days were established as a Yom Tov. The Gemara then wanted to suggest that what? That the 29th should also be Aser. Why? Because it's the day that comes before Rosh Chodesh. To which the Gemara says, why do you have to say the 29th is the day that comes after Rosh Chodesh? Why don't you say what? That the 29th is always the day that comes after the 28th. And the 28th is Yom Tov, to which the Gemara says, because remember, the 29th is not always, is not true. The 29th might be Aser, but sometimes there could be what? There could be a day 30 as well. If you have a Chodesh Mu'ubar, like this year I will say, like this month, this is a Chodesh Mu'ubar. So remember again, which means that it's a 30, I'm sorry? Not necessarily. Again, it's Rosh Chodesh today. We have it today. We have a different system set up today. But it could be day 30. Therefore, again, you could have a situation where the day after day 28 is not the same day as the day before Rosh Chodesh. So remember, the day after day 28 would be Aser. Day 29 would be Aser because the day after day 28. But Lamaisa, again, it might be day 29, which is the actual day before Rosh Chodesh, which will then be Aser because it's the day before Rosh Chodesh. Okay, just an interesting idea. So Gemara says, Rav Ashi, Amar filu tima l'chodesh chaser. You can even see we're talking about a deficient month. Kol shel acharav, so again, I'm also saying if we're talking about only a deficient month, so then the day after, the 28th, i.e. the 29th, should be usher because it's the day after the 28th, even if it's not the day before Rosh Chodesh, to which the Gemara says, no, kol shel acharav betanis usher, behes bin mutter. Well, see, now the Gemara introduces an interesting idea, that when we say that the day after one of these Yamim Tovim is usher, that only makes it usher in fasting. It doesn't prohibit eulogizing. However, v'zeh, but this day, i.e. the 29th, Hoyel umutul bein shnei yamim tovim. Because the 29th of Adar is nestled between two yamim tovim. What are the two yamim tovim? The 28th of Adar and Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Therefore, it's unique and asok yom tov atzmo. They made that day into a yom tov itself. Va'afilu behespit nami aser. And therefore, it'll even be aser in eulogizing. Amar Mar. I will say next grouping. Mitamnia bay va'atzof moada from the 8th of Nisan until Pesach isosiv chaga de shavue dolo lemispeit. So remember again from the 8th of Nisan until the end, from the 8th of Nisan through the end of Yom Tov. So they established these days as Yom Tov because again that's when everyone agreed that on how to organize or how to counter the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So lamilei lemeimar mitamnia bay, why do you have to say from the 8th of Nisan lema mitisha bay vitamnia gufei aser? Now, say there's an overlap. Because remember, again, the first Yom Tov that we mentioned over here from Megillas Tainus was what? From Rosh Chodesh until the 8th of Nisan. The second Yom Tov that was mentioned was what? From the 8th of Nisan through Pesach. So the Gemara says, why does that second shift, that second Yom Tov, have to start on the 8th? The 8th is already a Yom Tov, right? From Rosh Chodesh till the 8th. Why don't you start that second shift when, or that second Yom Tov from the 9th through Pesach? To which the Gemara says, "Kevan deilu mikla le milsa ubatlina l'shiva tamnye gufei aser dahavi le yoma kama diisosa bechaga deshavuei." Because what's the Gemara says? A very interesting answer. Because if for some reason that first yomtiv, that yomtiv from Rosh Chodesh through the 8th, was ever to become batal. Now, also, what the Gemara is introducing here is a very interesting fact, which is that because these Yomim Tovim that are mentioned in Megillas Tainus are of a rabbinic nature, if something else were to happen on those days of a negative nature, that negative event can neutralize the Yom Tov identity of the day and can actually take away the Yom Tov identity. So because of that, what we're doing is we're safeguarding the 8th of Nisan in one of two ways. Even should something happen to remove the Yom Tov status of the days from between Rosh Chodesh and the 8th, there's still another reason to make the 8th a Yom Tov, which is why? Because again, that was the days from the 8th through Pesach were the days on which the Yom Tov of Shavuos was solidified. The Gemara says, Hashad the Asas Lachin, now that you're saying that, Eschen V'tisha Nami, why don't you say that the 29th of Adar will also has to be established the Yom Tov? Why? Kevan De'ilu Mikla Milsa U'batlinei Le'eschen V'tamnia. So we'll say, now we have to also, going back a little bit, the 29th also has to be Asar. Why? Because it's the day before Rosh Chodesh. Because what could happen? It's, remember, we wanted to suggest before that maybe the 28th should be Asar. Why? Excuse me, maybe the 29th should be Asar. Why? Why? Because it's the day after the 28th, and the 28th is a Yom Tov, and therefore you don't have to say that the 29th is Asr because it's the day before Rosh Chodesh, to which the Gemara says, no, now we realize what? I have to have a safeguard, because it could be that something may happen, end up happening on the 28th of Adar, which would neutralize that day as a Yom Tov, thereby permitting the 29th in Hesped and Tanis, and it's only because the 29th is the day before Rosh Chodesh that we'll still go ahead and treat it like a Yom Tov as well, to which the Gemara says, So what's Rabbi Chiya bar Asi says the name of Rav, that the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Remember again, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion, the Amar Bein Lefanov, Bein Leachar of Aser. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that whenever you have a day that is written in Megillas Tainis, the day before that day and the day after that day are also Aser in Hesped eulogies as well as, we'll leave off eulogies for a little bit. Let's just focus on fasting. It's also going to be Aser in fasting. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, Halacha K'Rab Meir. Rabbi Yossi, what did Rab Meir say? Rab Meir said in the Mishnah, that the day before these days will be Aser, meaning Erev Yom Tov, so to speak, will be Aser, but Isru Chag, the day after these days, will be absolutely permitted. Umiyam Rashmul Haki, did Shmuel really say that? Va'atayin Rav Shemeng Amliel, Rav Shemeng Amliel said, Umar Talmud Lomar Bahon Bahon Shtei Pamim. Why, most remember, if you remember going back to yesterday's daf, when the Gemara introduced this discussion about Megillas Tainis, the Mishnah, the Brisa seemed to use, or Megillas Tainis itself seemed to use a repetitive Lashon. The Lashon was, Eile Yomin Delo Lihis Ana Bahon. These are days in which you are not permitted to fast on them. O Miktsasin Dolo Mispod Bahon. And some of them that you are not permitted to eulogize on them. It says Bahon Bahon, on them, or in them twice. Why do I need that lashon? To which the Gemara says, "Lomar lecha shenasrun lefnehen ulachareihen mutarin." To teach you that what? That lemaisa, again, they are prohibited beforehand, meaning Erev Yom Tov of these days is prohibited, but Isru Chag is permitted. Va'amar Shmuel, and Shmuel said, "The halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel." So again, what do you see from here? The Shmuel is not passing like Rabbi Meir. Shmuel saying Allah Chavazik Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. To which the Gemara says, Meikara Savar Kevun Lekatan and the Meikel Kerabbi Meir. Amalek Rameir. So we'll say, essentially, the Gemara answers is, Shmuel is shopping for the most lenient position. And we'll say, now why is that? Remember, all of these days are rabbinic in nature. So Shmuel is just trying to find the most lenient opinion as to how to deal with these days. So at first he thought the most lenient opinion was Rabbi Meir. Kevin the Shimon of Shimon Gamliel, once he heard Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who was even more meikel, the meikel tvei, Amar halacha ki Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. He said the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Amar le v'chein Amar Bali, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So to Bali said, Nim Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha ki Rabbi Yossi, that the halacha indeed follows Rabbi Yossi. Let me explain this to you. When Rabbi Yochanan said Rabbi Yossi, adlo lehisana, that refers to not fasting, but it doesn't necessarily mean to what? It doesn't necessarily refer to not eulogizing. If you look at Rashi just a moment, Kemar Rabbi Yochanan halacha adlo lehisana. Then when we said in Megillas Tainis that on these days that you can't fast on the days before them, but the days after them it is permitted. Rabbi Yossi, v'lo Rabbi Meir, da'af lifneihem mutar, aval adlo lemispad in halacha Rabbi Yossi, d'amar lefanav ula'acharav aser, ela Rabbi Meir, d'amar lefanav aser ula'acharav mutar. So we'll say again, the only time we say that it's aser for the day afterwards, that's only for fasting. When it comes to eulogizing, however, eulogizing will be permitted. So the Gemara says, Umirama Rabbi Yochanan, did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? V'ham Rabbi Yochanan, halach kistam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan said, the halacha follows a stam mishnah. What did the stam mishnah say? Utinan, and we learned, afa pi shamru makdimin v'lo ma'acharin. Rabbi Yochanan, remember, this is by This is by Megillah. So when it comes to Megillah, again, there are circumstances. Remember, this is the opening Mishnah in Megillah, where the Mishnah says that the Megillah could be read on the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th of Adar. So remember, there are certain circumstances where you are permitted to go ahead and bump up the reading of the Megillah. However, again, so you can go ahead and bump up, but you can't go ahead and delay. Mutarin behesped ubatanis. These days, and I will say, what the Mishnah seems to be saying is the following, that you might have an opportunity to read the Megillah earlier, but that day that you're reading the Megillah earlier, that day is not Purim. That's a day you could read the Megillah earlier. So you could read the Megillah earlier, but it's not Purim. Therefore, what? I would be permitted to what? To eulogize and to fast on that day on which I'm reading the Megillah. So the Gemara says, Emas. So what day are we talking about? If you're talking about, for example, by the way, I said the 16th. It's not true. Not the 16th. The 15th is the last day. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 is the end. So you're telling me, for example, if let's say people who lived in a walled city who read on the 15th, and now this year they're reading on the 14th. Then I both say, when would that happen? So that would happen when the 15th falls on a Shabbos. So if the 15th falls on a Shabbos, again, let's say pull back, but this is a better word. You understand what I mean. Okay, good. Right? They read the Megillah earlier. They read the Megillah earlier. So what happens? So now, are you telling me then that on that 14th, that they're permitted to eulogize and fast because that's not their real calendrical date of Purim? Umishari, is that true? Vaksim Megillah Sanis. We learn Megillah Sanis. Yom Arba Asar Bo. Yom Chamisha Asar Bo. Yom Purya Inun. But we learned explicitly, Megillah Sanis says, because we'll say Purim is recorded in Megillah Sanis because Purim is a rabbinic holiday, that on the 14th and 15th of Adar, these are the days of Purim. Delo L'mispud Bahon. And you are not permitted to eulogize and fast on these days. That can't be it. V'amarava. Lo Nitzucha. It teaches us that what? That even if you celebrate Purim on the 15th, you still may not eulogize and fast on the 14th, and vice versa. Ella, rather, it must be what? Ve'ella b'nei arbeisar v'karle b'tleisar. It must be that people who, let's say, live in an unwalled city and therefore read on the 14th would what? Would go ahead and bump it up to the 13th. Okay, so let's say they're reading early on the 13th. Maybe what the Gemara is telling me is what? Is that l'maisa? I go ahead and even though I'm reading the Megillah on the 13th, I can still what? I can still deliver eulogies and fast on the 13th because that's not Yom Purim. To which the Gemara says that can't be why. Yom Nikanor hu, because the 13th of Adar is Yom Nikanor. We'll see what Yom Nikanor is in just a little bit. Ve'lo b'nei arbeisar v'kar le'betreisar. Maybe it's talking about people who normally read on the 14th, and for whatever the reason, and I'll say we'll see this when we get to Maseches Megillah. This had to do very often with people who lived in small villages and did not have the opportunity, would not have a minyan present on Purim itself. They were given the license to read what's called Yom HaKnisa on the market days, which could allow them to read the previous Thursday, the previous Monday, depending on how Purim fell out. So let's say you're talking about the people who normally read on the 14th, but now they're reading on the 12th, and you're telling me then that they can eulogize and fast on the 12th. That can't be either. Why? Yom Toryonosu, because the 12th of Adar is Yom Toryonos. And again, Yom Toryonos is a Yom Tov. Ella, we'll see what that is also later on. Ella lavdika karile bechadesar v'katani muter behesped v'tainis. Or it must be that maybe what? They're reading on the 11th, and what it's teaching me is that when they read on the 11th, the 11th is not Purim, and therefore they're permitted to go ahead and eulogize and fast on that day. Lo, the Gemara says, no, it's not the case. B'nei arba'asar v'kakarula betresar. The case over here is what? Is where the people who normally read on the 14th, but here they're permitted to go ahead and push back the reading to the 12th. Let's say again they live in villages, the 12th is a Monday or a Thursday, a market day, they're permitted to go ahead and read it then. And what happens? But you said before that we can't fast and eulogize on the 12th of Adar. Why? Because it's the day of Toryonos. Yom Toryonos gufei batule batluhu. That Yom Tov on the 12th of Adar was annulled. Why was it annulled? Hoil v'neher gubo Shmaya v'achia achiv. Because Shmaya and his brother were murdered on that day. Now I will say, well, it was interesting. Look at Rashi. Shmaya v'achia chasidim. They were very pious people. V'lo pirish mihen. Interestingly enough, we don't know who they are. So this is very interesting. So we know that there were two great people who were Shmaya and Achia. And obviously, once upon a time, they knew who they were. But Rashi is saying, I don't know who they are. The Gemara at this point in time doesn't identify who they are. I don't know who they are. But here's what we do know, is that they were murdered on the 12th of Adar. And because of that, the 12th of Adar lost its Yom Tov identity. Therefore, again, the case the Gemara is referring to over here is what? Where Lemaisa, the people who normally read on the 14th, were able to read earlier on the 12th, even though they're reading the Megillah on that day does not have the status of Purim, and therefore what? They're permitted to what? They're permitted to what? They're permitted to eulogize and fast on that day. And even though that day, once upon a time, was Yom Tov Yonos, which was a Yom Tov, because it was a tragic event that occurred, it negated the Yom Tov identity of that day. Ki Yond Rav Nachman, Gazra Ta'anisa B'Treser. Just like Rav Nachman, he decreed a fast day on the 12th of Adar. Amrulei Rabbanan, the rabbi said to him, you can't do that, Yom Tov Yonosu. Said, it's the Tov Yonos day. Amrulei, he said to them, Yom Tov Yonos Gufei Batuli Batluhu. We negated Yom Tov Yonos. Why? Hoil V'ner, bless you, Hoil V'ner Gubo Shmaya V'Achia Achiv. Because it was the day on which Shmaya and Achia, his brother, were murdered. V'seifak Lei, Da'avi Lei Yom Shalifnei Nikanor. Why don't you say that the 12th of Adar should be Asr? Because why? It's the day before the 13th. What's the 13th? The 13th is the Yom Tov of Nikanor. Now, we don't know what that is yet. Amar Rav Ashi, Hashta Ihu Gufei Batluhu, Misham Yom Nikanor Nekom V'Nigzar. So Gemara says, Rav Ashi says, it sounds a little bit counterintuitive. We negated the 12th. We annulled the identity of that day as a Yom Tov. Now you're going to tell me though, but we're going to reinstate it because it's the day before the 13th. Just sounds a little bit counterintuitive. So the Gemara says, Umay Nikanor, Umay Toryonos. What were these days? Rabbi says, this is amazing. What were these Yomim Tovim? The Sanya Nikanor, who was Nikanor? Rabbi says, there are two Nikanors. The famous Nikanor was the individual who donated the doors, the huge doors to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? It's the famous story, which we'll see, where the doors were thrown overboard, and Nikanor, the first door was thrown, a big storm enveloped the boat, first door was thrown overboard, second door was thrown overboard, Nikanor says, if that door is going, right, I'm going also. So they didn't throw the door overboard, but he was very upset about the fact that the first one was thrown over, and then when they pulled into port, they found the door bobbing underneath the boat. That guy, I'm sorry? Too heavy. They were unloading the extra weight from the boat because of the storm. So, yeah, we saw this Gemara. Correct. So, and we're actually going to see it again. That's not this guy. Right? That's not him. Right? This guy is bad news. As they're going to say, this Nikanor is Echa Be'afar Chayivanim. He was a Greek. He was a Greek nobleman. Every single day he would wave his hand against Judea and Yerushalayim. And he would say, When will Yerushalayim fall into my hands? And I'm going to trample it. So every single day, like what Goliath said, every single day he threatened. He said, when am I going to have the opportunity to destroy it? And what happened? When the Hasmoneans, defeated the Syrian Greeks, they captured this guy Nikanor, they decapitated him, and in addition to that, Kotetsu Bahonos Yodov Viraglov. They cut off his thumbs and his big toes. Utilaum, don't mess with the Jews. Utilaum Bishari Yerushalayim. And they hang them at the gates of Yerushalayim. They're both like, why the big toes and the thumbs? So suddenly, because again, the thumbs represent that he would wave his hand every day, I'm going to conquer all of this. The big toes was why? Because he threatened to trample Yerushalayim. Va'amru, and they said, and they also, the Gemara doesn't say this, but they suspended his head also from the gates of Yerushalayim. Va'amru, Pesh Shahaya Medaber Begaiva, the mouth that spoke with such arrogance, the Adayim Shahayu Manifos, and the hands that waved every day Al Yerushalayim, Te'asa Bahem Nekama, let revenge be taken against them. Quite amazing. My Toryanos, what happened with Toryanos? Amru Kishabikesh Toryanos Lauroges Lulinos Upapos Echa Beludikya. So what happens? Beludkya, excuse me. So Toryanos apparently was another very evil individual. Again, I both say it's not immediately clear. It's not immediately clear if he's Greek or if he's Roman. Okay, in any event, he's one of the two. One of the two. So what happens? He was going to kill Lulinus and Papos. Now, why would he kill Lulinus and Papos? So I will say, Rashi points out of here something amazing. First of all, Rashi says, Lulinus and Papos, tzadikim gemurim hayu. They were absolutely righteous individuals. And what happened? what happened. So Rashi actually points out that the daughter of the king was found dead. And the king accused the Jews of doing it. And he said, if the murderers don't confess, I'm going to execute the whole city of Lud. Lud. I'm going to execute the entire city. And these two brothers, Lulinus and Papus, stepped forward and admitted to the crime, even though what? They did not commit it. All in order to go ahead and save the city. Incredible. Incredible. So just, you should know, you know, this is Mikam Chayisron. You know, we know about the great people, right, whose stories are recorded. But you know how many Lulinus and Papuses there have been throughout our history? Two guys who never even heard of, but yet again gave their lives to save the city of Lud. It's amazing the shoulders that we stand on. Amar Lahem, so what happened? What happened? So when Toryonos was about to kill Lulinus and Papus, so Toryonos, he taunted them. If you are from the nation of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, then you know what? Yavo Elohechem, v'yotzi leschem yadin, keder shehitzi les Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah, miyad Nebuchadnezzar. Remember again the famous story, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah are thrown into a fiery furnace by Nebuchadnezzar, and they're saved. So Toryonos taunts them. Lulinus, Papus, you know what? If you're from the nation of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, let your God come and save you, just like he saved Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah from Nebuchadnezzar. Amulo, so Lulinus and Papus said to Toryonos, they said, Amulo, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, tzadikin gemur hayu. Here's the difference. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they were righteous. Uru'uyin hayu le'asos lahem neis. And the truth is, they were worthy of miraculous activity. Unevuchadnezzar melech hagun hayu. And you know what? Nebuchadnezzar, that was a king. Rotten to the core, right? Barbaric man, but boy, he was a successful monarch, right? Meaning, he was a king. And therefore, he was the type of king, he was so exalted in the eyes of many that God doing a miracle for him or in his midst was actually a great kiddush Hashem. But you, Hedyotu, who are you? Right, you're Toryonos, right? Whoever heard of Toryonos? The Eino Roy Lasos Nes Al Yado. You're not worthy. You're not worthy of seeing the hand of God. Va'anu Nischayavnu Kli Yelamakom. So Lulinus and Papus say, you know what? Clearly, we are deserving of death. If this is happening, does we're deserving of death? Vim atahoragnu, vim ein atahoragnu. And if you don't kill us, harbe harugim yesh olamakom. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many agents. Harbe dubin, he has many bears. Va'arayos yesh olamakom, he has many lions. Ba'olam shepogin banu, vahargin osanu. So again, so Lulinus and Papus says, clearly we're deserving to die. And if you don't kill us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could kill us through another means. You're nothing. You're not better than a bear. You're not better than a lion. Ela lom masrunu HaKadosh Baruch Hu biyadecha, ela sha'asid li para daminu. So listen to what Lulinus and Papus say to Toryonos. You know why you are the agent for our execution? Because when you kill us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just waiting to exact punishment from you. Afal pi kein, despite hearing this, Toryonos killed him. Hargan miyad. Hargan, he killed them. Hargan miyad. Amru lo zaz misham, they didn't move from there, which means immediately what happened afterwards? Ad sheba'u diyufli mirome, two officers came from Rome. So this answers it, by the way, that it's Rome. Two officers came from Rome, upatsu es mocho begizrin. And they split his skull with clubs. For the Gemara doesn't explain why, but something must have happened. Toryonos somehow fell out of favor with Rome, and for whatever the reason, they showed two officers right after he killed Lulinus and Papus. Two officers show up and kill Toryonos right there and then. All right, Bosinot, we'll stop over here. We'll Emir Tzashem finish the parak tomorrow. We are going to start tomorrow morning Emir Tzashem at 5:45. I apologize for the speed. But okay.